Everyone, this is Zach Kobel, Chair of the Commission on Disability Issues. It is 3:48 p.m. We are getting started a little late, but I call this meeting to order. Stephanie, can you take roll call?
Yes, Zach Kobel.
Here.
Lily Balkin.
Here.
Ray Jordan. Absent. Derek Espadas. Absent. And Sue Kroger. Am I pronouncing it correctly?
It's Kroger.
Kroger. Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry. Sorry, Kroger. Miss Kroger. Do that too. Great. So I think that makes us quorum.
Yep, we have quorum.
Now, next agenda item is consideration and approval of the November of the minutes. Do people have commissioners had a chance to look at the minutes? And if you see any discrepancies or changes, please bring them up. Otherwise, I would be looking for an agenda a motion to approve the minutes.
I did see the meeting minutes, and I moved to approve the last meeting minutes.
Great, thank you, Ms. Bogan. Would the other commissioner besides myself offer a second?
I second.
Thank you, Ms. Kroger. All those in favor of approving the December 2023 CODI minutes, signify by saying aye. Or I'm sorry, you have to do the roll call, Stephanie.
No, it's okay. Sue Kroger?
Aye.
Zach Kobel?
Aye.
Lily Bogan?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is a short call to the audience. I noticed some names on the list that are not necessarily CODI members. Or invited guests. Does any member of the public have a concern or an issue related to the disability community that they would like to voice? Now would be your time to speak. I will give about a minute. All right. Hearing none, we can move on to the next agenda item, which is discussion with human resources regarding recruitment, hiring, and retention of people with disabilities. Ms. Yazinko, I believe you're on. Thank you for joining us. And if you have other staff, we'd love to hear who they are and get introduced.
Great, thank you. Yes, I'm here. I'm Suzette Yazinko. I'm the HR director here for the city. And I also have invited Shayna DeRazzo, who is our leave and accessibility lead analyst that works with ADA and reasonable accommodations throughout the city.
Okay, great. Thank you. And I'm happy to have you present any information that you want to share with us, or I can direct with questions, and the other commissioners can ask questions as well. Whatever you would prefer to start with.
Great. I did put together just a short presentation just to kind of give the commission an idea of what we're doing now or some of the future projects that we're working on. And so I think I just share my screen. So hopefully that works.
Stephanie, if I don't know if you need to give permission to Ms. Yazinko to share their screen, but there it is.
No, she can share it. Yeah.
Oh, great. Perfect. Let me just make sure I can see it. Oh, can you still see it?
Yes, we okay. Or we can see your desktop. We can't see the presentation.
Oh, there you go. I moved
there it.
There
it is. Oh.
Different screens. So again, thank you for inviting us to this commission to give us an opportunity to kind of talk about the things that's been going on with HR for the last year, especially on a lot of changes. So on the topic specifically to recruiting, hiring, retention, people with disabilities. One of the biggest things that we are truly a believer is we work with our leadership. I think I see Rebecca Hill on here also of ensuring that our recruitment processes, hiring processes, and all of those do provide fair and equitable treatment of all individuals, including people with disabilities. One of the pieces that you may or may not know, so in these fields right now, we've been doing a lot of work. And so starting with recruitment, the city invested in quite a bit of money to purchase an inclusive system called Workday. Some of you may be familiar with it. We had our 1 year anniversary just a few weeks ago. What this has done, though, that has allowed us to do a trigger is that it's allowed us to look at our processes and how to now build that not only into an accessible system, but also look at the processes to see how we can do better on that. And here's some of the things that we're doing right now that we're learning as part of the project. Now, our project is to go, we're anticipating going live with the system and the new processes in March. And so we're doing a big push and we're still hoping that March 1st is the date. But some of the big things that are happening is again, I want to talk about Workday. Workday is a system that really has accessibility in mind. I put a little bit of ideas of some of the things we do, but as recruitment, we do require a fully accessible online job application process. And in that process is they do have accessibility designed experience. So their entire team has been working on this, you know, this system a long time. So as we're building out our projects, we can truly know and have confidence that the use of this system is accessible. It is in the forefront of their design, which is an amazing feat with a lot of our systems. The other part that we're really working on is the whole, you know, how to revamp our recruitment outreach. And so we've done some vendor negotiations where we now work with it's a recruitment broker called Job Elephant, which I love that name. And what this does is their specialty, they've been in the doing this for about 20 to 30 years, is really doing targeted recruitment. And so, and with diversity in mind, not only do they do help us with targeted recruitment and advertising, they also give us it could be daily, monthly, weekly reports to see how effective our targeting recruitment is. And it has truly a wide, amazing band of resources that can be accessible, including resources and advertisings and partnerships that tie with people with disabilities, veterans with disabled vets. All of those pieces are tied into their role when they play. Another thing people might not know is that we just developed, it's called a military vet program. We hired a military vet program coordinator and in the last year, and his name's Matthew Langseth. He couldn't make it. I was going to introduce you. Next time we'll introduce you. He has been here since April, and what he's been doing is really developing out that program. And one of the, he's got four overarching goals, and one of those programs is how to build out resources for veterans, disabled veterans, also for our current staff, and how to attract and recruit future staff through veterans and veteran disabled partnerships that he has across across the city, across his network, and also that you might be aware of SkillBridge is one of those pieces too. So that we'll see. We did present to mayor and council on that. We are building out metrics. So when we get those metrics, you know, we start some data, we'll definitely let you guys see what we were, how well we've done there. The other part too that you may not be aware of is that we do preference points for people with disabilities. This is, of course, Arizona State, but the city has been doing this for very effectively for a long time, and we're continually to do that as part of our role is to provide preference points as part of the recruitment to provide more advantage to those that have disabilities or veterans with disabled vets also. We have, again, Sheena on the line, but we have been building up more notice to how applicants can obtain a reasonable accommodation through the entire application process from the time they may see a posting to the time before an offer letter, you know, before the offer is provided, so that they can have resources that are easy to find if they need them through the search process. That can be location. We do assessment tests, all of those pieces that our documentation we put so that people know that there's a way to provide if they need an accommodation, that they can request an accommodation. The form is online. We also have contact information to help people through it. I did mention assessment tests. So the city does assessment tests, all different kinds throughout the city for positions. Some can be an oral presentation, a written assessment, a practical. There's a variety. And one of the pieces with this new plan of new recruitment and selection process going live in March is all assessment tests are not going to be approved unless they have been reviewed with an accessibility review. And so we're slowly going to capture them before it actually comes in place. That's new. We're trying to catalog all of the tests that we do so that we can really start having a true view and approval process for those assessment tests and really making sure that view happens. The other part with this new recruitment is before we go live, anybody that's in the recruitment process will have to take mandatory training, which we'll monitor. Part of that training is recruitment and selection and bias in selection training so that people can be aware of those biases they may have and educate them as they're going through the recruitment process. We are working through, thanks to Job Elephant and our internal employees, is trying to find some community partnerships on where to do those more of those outreaches. We are working on that, but we're hoping that at least within, after we go live, we'll be able to build those up and continuously build those up. And so those are just kind of a highlight reel of what we're at right now with recruitment. The other part is hiring. Again, we're going back to the Workday system. Again, it because of its robustness, we have onboarding that's online now. And because we've heard a lot of feedback on the onboarding system process and all of those forms that people have to go through, people find it very confusing. And so what we've done is we do have a new onboarding project where a team of people have come together, they've lean prosted out, and they're trying to build out really what would be a truly appropriate onboarding process for people and how to build that into the system with not only how to make this easier for people, but also to ensure the accessibility for individuals. And what else are we missing in terms of resources? So it's to us right now, it's in the mid stage of that. So there's a lot of possibilities. So we're working out through what those possibilities are. But our goal is to really utilize this accessible system to ensure that we're meeting all of the needs and building out special needs for anyone that might need it through the system. But right now we're in the stage of gathering and developing. So there's more to come to that. We'll know more probably closer to June. We'll have a better idea what that looks like. You also know that we have the new employee orientation. We do have been revising it where the military vet program coordinator is there. There's also supposed to be more resources towards community groups and other resources for disability and all different groups so that we can start building out as their first resource, basically a robust resource component as we're working through and getting feedback from individuals through the new. Which again, that's one of the things in the future is this whole process is trying to build out what the best process would be and also then add resources to that so that everyone that needs, resources are always important so that people can be able to help. We can help answer those questions and help guide them to all of the amazing things that the city has to offer. And if we don't have it to offer, how do we can capture those to offer our new employees? And then retention, a lot of different things happening on retention. We have been looking at our policies for probably the past 7 months, really looking to see how the verbiage and language and do we have all the appropriate ones. We have been doing, of course, I saw Rebecca again is on here, but she's done a lot of great work on the discrimination policy. We're working through our reasonable accommodation policy and our FML policy. And again, to all of the 55 policies that HR has to help try to build in with this accessibility eye to make sure we're not missing pieces. And, having an old policy is not an excuse. It's time to fix these up. We are doing a lot of training development. So we're also doing our subject matter expert training. We're also doing developing some supervisory training outside of Ignite so that we can try to get to a place that we have year-long supervisory training that will include topics about, people with disabilities and other protected groups. And a lot of those, we have Larice Walker from the Equity office that will be helping us with that. She's actually the one that will be working with us on the bias in recruitment or bias in selection training. So she's been a great partner with helping us build those out. The other thing you might have heard is we had a new comp plan structure approved in July 1st, 2023. With that new change has caused us an ability to create career paths. And so trying to build out those career paths to provide more opportunity for people to have growth within the city so that there's more promotional opportunities for individuals. And once those are built, how to help internal employees be an internal applicant and work through how to project out and build towards and work towards whatever goal they want in their career pathing. One of the biggest problems we found is that people felt they had to leave their department to grow in the city. And these career paths are also called career series. People can actually grow within their own department. And so how to build those out, we've done a lot of work. We still have a lot of work to go, but my goal is by the end of next year, we'll have series for pretty much every position so that people can have a growth option to them. Of course, we have an amazing professional development program that every year we continually add programs based upon customer feedback and surveys that we do to see if there's other things that we're missing that would might be great. We do have a robust list that we keep adding to of 65 plus trainers or consultants that we could that could be creating unique trainings that to meet the needs of all employees. So that is continuing too. As I said, the military vet program for disabled vets, he is truly building out a very robust program. I think we'll see a lot more resources and support and aid in that program probably within the next year is where, because again, but April will be his first year. So hopefully by the end of this year, we'll see some good information. What we are working on, not only through the military vet program, but how to build a linkage to our community. And so with that being resources with and community groups that help and support people on disabilities to become an employee of the city or resources for employees that are currently our employees also at the city. So we're working on how to build that slowly. You know, any help on that is great. We plan on making that as a future within this year. And then we do have a mentorship program. However, we're trying to figure out a way to, based on the feedback we've got, is to make it more, maybe more expansive and maybe a little less, because it's very regiment right now, and how to build out our mentors pool more largely that includes all protected groups and all community groups so that we can provide a very robust mentoring program that any employee at the city can access if they want. Right now, because of resources and limitations, the structure really is not it's not a very large program yet. It's a good program. It's been great, has great success rate, but we're trying to figure out how to build that so it's more available across the city, not only as after you're hired, but also we're looking at during the hiring process, connecting you to what we call a, you know, an onboarding buddy or something so that people can come in and feel supported from the day they've started. And then of course, until they leave way, 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 way in the future. And so it's, those are some of the big pieces right now that we've been working on to try to help work in this role here at the city. And that's just, again, I told you just a very quick slides. I just wanted to give you just a kind of a quick summary, a highlight reel of what we're doing right now. We know we can only do more and better, but right now we're just trying to build out an archaic system that's about 20 years old and 20 process and policies that can be just that long too. And really starting looking at how to get us into today with the appropriate support and verbiage for people with, for all people, including people with disabilities.
Thank you, Ms. Yazinko. I do have some questions, I have some questions, but I'd like to open it up to the other two commissioners, maybe first, if Ms. Krieger or Ms. Bogan have questions they'd like to ask.
Yes, I have a question. I'm curious as to what the process is for an employee who is requesting an accommodation, so they're already on the job. What does that process look like?
Well, I am going to let my expert, Ms. Shana, speak to it. With her and her team, they do several every month. So she'll walk you through it a little bit.
Hello, everybody. I'm Shana DeRosso, the lead HR analyst. Can you all hear me okay?
Yes, thank you. Okay.
So our process, and just know we're currently looking at our process to make sure, you know, that it is more accessible and, you know, easier for employees to understand. But currently there's a form that they fill out when they're requesting an accommodation. We provide them all the documents. The medical provider, you know, is required to fill out some information as well as the employee. Once we get the forms back, we review everything, you know, make sure we have the information that we need. And then we begin the interactive process with the employee as well as the department. And then, you know, it might be back and forth a little bit, but then we'll draft up the record of accommodation and get that in the employee's file. And that's just a brief overview.
And there's a follow-up process too that Shana does. So once there is reasonable accommodation, there's a scheduled check-in times to continually to make sure it's working for the employee and the employer.
Yeah, and they can re-engage at any time if something's not working for them. That is something, you know, that we're also including to make sure that they're aware they can re-engage at any time and that they don't have to wait for our check-ins, that they can reach out to us before.
So can you tell me, I'm not sure exactly how to word this, but can you tell me how much time, energy, emphasis you put on disabled employees needing to prove that they have a disability in terms of getting documentation? Like what role does that play?
So as part of our process, we have a packet that, you know, kind of asks specific questions. It's a 5-page document that 2 pages are from the employee and then the other 2 pages are from the provider. So our main thing is making sure, you know, that we're giving the employee what they need, but also looking at the safety aspects of it. So, you know, once we get the packet, we may need clarification. Sometimes there is a little back and forth with the provider to make sure that we, as, you know, the employer, have the information we need to protect the employee.
So would all disabled people equally need to obtain and fill out this this packet and get information from a medical provider? So is it no matter what your impairment is, you have to, I'm just thinking for those where it's obvious.
Obvious disabilities. With those with obvious disabilities, what we find with, so we take whatever the doctor provides us, right? So if we need clarification.
But I guess my question is would a doctor's anything always be necessary? If the disability is obvious and straightforward and you get all the information from the employee, is that necessary?
I don't know if we've had a case of an obvious, like, let's say, for example, a person with a disability of blindness or a person with a disability of with a wheelchair that we've had to require the medical. What I've done in the past with other state agencies is that if there's an obvious disability, we usually work with them and we're flexible. But a lot of times what you find is, what I found in my experience with working with individuals is that they usually have a regular doctor appointment that we just ask, can you just tag this along so that we can add it to the file? We're not rigid. I think you're concerned about rigidness. What we're trying to do is just like, what's the easiest way to do this, even if it's the next doctor appointment that a person may be going to? I'm checking with Shana to see, but I don't believe we've had a lot of obvious disabilities that as you're saying, that it's an obvious disability. And so we're going to treat them as uniquely as we can, as we do with all accommodations, to make sure that people feel comfortable through the process. And Shana, I don't know if you know that information.
No, I would say that's accurate. I mean, we have requested the documentation, and that's just to make sure we have the employee needs as well as, you know, healthcare provider recommendations. And again, like Suzette said, we haven't had a lot that are, like she said, obvious. So I think that's why our process has been that way previously.
And it's pretty personal. So we work with people very personal, and we talk through with them in a very confidential manner of what they feel is comfortable, if there's information or concerns or questions. We work with each case independently and uniquely. So we treat it very, very personally and uniquely to the person that we're working with. So if there's concerns or frustrations or anything like that, we work with them to help it figure out an easier way for them to do what is needed to get it done, so that everybody, not only them, feel comfortable, but also that we make sure the employer understands, you know, what their role they need to play to ensure this person feels accommodated while they're at work and able to do the roles that are important for them to do.
Okay. I'll kind of step aside, but I guess my concern is that perhaps disability is being treated as a health condition or a medical condition, when really, you know, most, I would say, of us are, you know, interested in access. And so I'm just kind of curious about maybe if there is rigidity about obtaining medical information, is it just to prove that somebody's legitimately disabled, or because again, I think the new amendments, ADA amendments, would say, you know, you shouldn't be getting information that you don't need, right?
Correct, and that's why
I just wonder why you would be getting medical information.
Well, and just to be clear, so we do. So Shana also works with actually medical leave also. And so what we've done is we've allowed a one-stop shop for anybody that might have medical or disability. So it's just the same people they work with. So part of that process is there are a lot of obvious disabilities, but what we work with is then what we're noticing a lot of is medical conditions that turn into a permanent disability. And so what we're trying to do working with our attorneys is to make sure that we're ensuring that we have the documentation that they will need to for their part of it, so that we can help ensure everyone's everyone's on the same page and we're helping them through the whatever is needed for them to be happy and healthy and content at work.
This is Zach. I just had a quick follow-up on documentation and reasonable accommodations. Would you require documentation of the disability if someone's requesting reasonable accommodations during the hiring process? Because that could create barriers if a person doesn't have insurance to go to the doctor to get the
I hear what you're saying.
That they need.
With applicants, actually, their request is different. So basically they ask for an accommodation, what's the limitations, and then it's typically deals with location, the ability to read a computer, talk through what the assessment test is. So we do everything we can to remove the barrier. And with applicants, it's a different rule, right, in the law. And so there is not the medical verification. It's to work through with them to get the accommodation process in place.
Okay. I was just trying to.
And it's quick. It's fast. We have to move quickly and fast so that they have no barrier of delay in the process either. So.
Right. I understand the need for speed with the hiring process. I do have some questions unrelated to reasonable accommodations, but Ms. Bogan, did you have questions that you wanted to ask?
Sure. What is the total number of employees that is under City of Tucson, and how many of those have reported a disability?
So I currently have 43 active accommodations throughout the City of Tucson. And those are just, you know, the ones approved, gone through the process. And, you know, of course, as they come in, we process them timely.
And we have about 5,200, which it varies, but let's say at the most we have at one time, most is 5,200 employees.
So is there a process for employees to identify themselves as disabled, or do you only know about those that have requested an accommodation?
On the applicant side, they can disclose if they are a person with a disability. Per the state law, for them to be able to get preference points, there's some sort of, very generalized rule of basically saying they're disabled. They sign and consent. It's part of the form. So we capture that during the application process. I'll let Shana talk about those that are current employees.
Sorry, I can speak slow. Can you just repeat the question so I can make sure
I was just curious if you have a number. I'm kind of following up with Lily's question. Is, you know, you have about 5,200 total employees. You have 43 with active accommodations. Do you have a sense of how many employees have disabilities that work for the City of Tucson?
I was going to say, you know, it is a process right now of us educating, awareness. Those are current things that we're working on. But if, you know, we do ask that the employee request the accommodation should they need it. But again, we are doing more work to review our processes and revamp and making sure we are more accessible in identifying those who may need accommodations who haven't come forward.
So out of 5,200, you know about 43.
Yes, those individuals have requested reasonable accommodation.
And one of the things, like I said earlier, is the workday system is 1 year old, right? And part of that 1 year is that, you know, we've we've got, you know, we have a lot of bumps in the road, but one of those pieces is building out the forms that can capture more of the data that we need. And so right now, for example, once a person's hired, they can disclose other information, gender identity, race, ethnicity, all of those pieces. And it wasn't part of the original Workday form to include additional pieces that we're slowly building in with our programmers. And so we discovered that a lot with the military vet program coordinator. For example, on our veterans, we had a lot that didn't self-report. And so trying to capture that data now on the front end as we build the system on the application side, and then allowing people to disclose that as part of their personal profile is also being built. Again, they put in the best shell they could, and now we're slowly building out more of the enhancement pieces. So that we don't have that as much as we should now, but we are working on building that out. The other part too is working with Larice is we're finding that a lot of the personally disclosed information, employees aren't disclosing it. So we're working with her on what kind of a campaign we can work with employees on, helping them, encouraging them to do some self-identity so that we can provide more resources. So for example, our veterans, with the efforts that Matthew has done over the last 6 months, he's actually been able to bring a number of self-disclosed. It was amazing. It was like, let's say 45, he's up to 335 now. So really we just need to help the efforts to try to, again, I'm saying campaign, but trying to help do regularly, you know, reminders to employees or encouragement to start providing that information in a safe, secure system, which is Workday.
This is Zach. To clarify, employees in Workday can disclose like information as to whether they would identify as having a disability.
Not yet. We're going to use the same methodology of how they are able to say gender identity, for example, and it's a comprehensively growing list. So using that functionality, how do we build it in for people that would want to disclose disability, veterans, disabled vets, all of those pieces?
Yeah. Okay, but it's planned to use that to disclose. Thank you for that information, because that's clarifying in terms of not all employees with disabilities are going to request accommodations or need accommodations to do their work, since disability is, a social identity for a lot of us. I guess I had some questions in terms of recruitment. You mentioned in one of your slides, working with community partnerships. I believe when I was looking, just trying to gather some information, I realized, Ms. Yazinko, you're pretty, new, not new to HR, but new to the city. I think maybe you worked in the university. You've worked in a university system before.
Universities for 33 years.
You're right. So, I guess, is there considerations of trying to burnish employment or recruitment of people with disabilities by working with university offices that deal with disabled students, programs that deal with disabled students, especially, offering internships, that type of thing?
100%. And my background, we did all of those community partnerships. And actually agencies and partnerships with some agencies that actually had direct hires of people with disabilities into the organization. I did that at every one of my organizations. What we're having here is we put it on hold a little bit because we were trying to figure out the mess we called recruitment so that when we launch the program, we can start doing good things moving forward. We are trying to work with gathering the list of how to do it. We have built out more of our list and connections through the Veterans Disabled because I have a full-time position that can do that. And then at the same time, using that same model and working it with a individual that works in my team to start building out that. It's a matter of time and resources and the timing. And so that is on our list. It's just there's pieces we want to get in place first, that we have a process that's accessible. We've got the onboarding that has the right information. We have all of those pieces ready and available. At the same time, trying to plan that out and then be able to connect those pieces. But yeah, there's so much vast ability to do that, not just here locally, but even statewide, that we can take advantage of, I'm hoping that we can do. But I am more, if there's people that you'd like us to do as a community connection to, we would love to put that on the list and start putting that in our plan also. So we're very open to the whole possibilities right now.
You know, I know, like, the few of us on the call have various connections, but I think about the Sonoran Center for Excellence in Disability has several job programs. Direct Advocacy and Resource Center has the Linkages job program for job seekers with disabilities. They're in town. There's other groups that I'm less familiar with personally, like the Beacon group, and those types. And then there's university offices as well. And since the city employs both office or office type skilled employees and also employees with skills in like trades and like other labor intensive, like there's it has a wide range of applicable positions for people with disabilities, I guess what I would say. And employees with disabilities tend to be loyal because it's more challenging for us to get work, in my experience and research. I don't know if there's like a percent, like I don't want to say there's a percentage, a goal, but is there like a goal of like in your, in 3 years' time, you would like the city hiring and retention process to look like X for people with disabilities? Like, is there like a vision that you would like to see?
Wow, that, of course we want to think finite or infinite, right? To me, just even working in universities, it depends on the success of the programs that we've connected to. What I'd love to see is actually programs that are can steadily in place and consistently become part of our normal processes and built into the threads of who we are. That would be where I would feel that we've got to a place. I'm not looking at a number, but actually looking it in that it's a part of us. And that we work with programs that is just one of our many long-term partners that is integrated into the seams of our organization. And because the cities are so vast of all different opportunities, that there should be no reason why it couldn't reach all pieces of our organization. And that's one of the things I think if we got to that place, that's where we actually are successful. And so if I could truly say that we have these programs in place through every single department at the city, that would be my first like major success metrics. Because what I find here, and again, at organizations similar to this, is like just building out the programs and getting the departments to see it as just regularly part of their role, and it's regularly part of their pool that they're pulling from. We've seen that here with the SkillBridge, for example. So they just brought in this whole program with the military vet, which is little less than a year. And in this year, we were in one department with the military vet program and the SkillBridge and bringing in the bridge for our veterans and our disabled vets. And now we're up to five. And so to me, it's like we got to get throughout the seams of all of us. so that it then that's the success I'm looking for. Not necessarily a number, but that we're really it's really a part of us at the city.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that vision. I appreciate that. I know we're like both for you and for the commission, we're running a little short on time. So I just want to check in with the other commissioners if either of the two of you have any last follow-up questions, and then I'd love to let you go if you have other commitments today.
I would just like to ask a question about training. And what kind of training is provided to supervisors and supervisors and colleagues around certainly diversity, but specifically disability, and you know how it gets represented, the language that is used, and I guess I'm wondering who does your training and who do you consult with about the quality of that training?
Well, I'll tell you, so again, I've been here a year, and one of the things we've, one of our primary ways with training, let me just say that training, we're revamping. So one of the primary ways the city has done training is they have what they call Ignite Training for Supervisors. That is a 3-day conference that's typically once a year or twice a year. And in that, what the training group does is they pull together lots of consultants and all of those relevant areas that are necessary for supervisors. I will tell you that, you know, me reviewing the trainings, there has not been much emphasis on training specifically other than here's the reasonable accommodation process. We are in the process of recruiting a new training, learning and development manager. And one of their first goals is how do we build out a training program that not only is a yearly program, that truly hits all of the components that we're missing. And I'll tell you, one of those pieces that are missing is training on disabilities and for supervisors that have people that are disabled, people that are going through transition. And so all of those pieces have not been part of training. Now, in terms of who with the training, our training group has done a great job of pulling together, like I said, over 65 consultants across the city and the state that have been vetted as experts in the field. And so I'm not as concerned with us being able to find the training. What we've had is just how we're planning and structuring the training to be effective. And so that once that new learning and development manager gets hired, their first step is to be how to build out a training that truly is inclusive. And then how do we want, you know, that's plan year one, right? Then what does plan year two look like that we start enhancing those components and start building out those better? So unfortunately, Ms. Kroger, we don't have a great training right now, but now we recognize our weakness there. And now with the new individual being hired, that will be their first priority of the year is how to build that out. And I'll just tell you, working at universities, I've done this 3 different times. So, and we did have robust trainings that tied to people with disabilities and across the board there. And so we can do it. We just got to put the plan in place, structure it, and use the resources that we have effectively. And so it is in our future. And as soon as that person's hired, that is what they're going to be doing immediately. So we're excited about that.
Thank you, Ms. Yazinko and Mr. Rezzo, for joining us. We really appreciate your time and dedication to your work.
Thank you. Again, I'd love to be able to give you an update in a year to see where we're at, because I do think we'll be even a better place after today.
We'd welcome that. And can you, I know it was only a couple of slides, but it's helpful for us can you share the couple of slides that you put together with the city clerk?
Stephanie, will do. I'll send it to Stephanie if she doesn't mind. She's been very helpful.
thank you very much. Take care and have a lovely rest of your day.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right. So that leads us. Thank you, Ms. Krager and Ms. Bogan, for your questions and all identifying a lot of different issues. Hiring and recruitment. That brings me or brings us to kind of our second to last substantial agenda item. I was wondering if I could get a so we need to do our annual CODI report, which I've done the last couple of years. I'm happy to write that because I have practice at it, unless one of the two of you feels so moved to do that. Not hearing, cries for volunteering. I'll just go ahead and do that. I'll hopefully have a draft of that by our February meeting. I am wondering though if I could get a volunteer to help with maybe writing a letter to mayor and council about our meeting with Ms. Yazinko and hiring and recruitment of people with disabilities, like we've done in the past. We've heard from different things. I've heard from, I think it was effective in helping the Department of Transportation respond to, different issues. And, it might be helpful in other instances too. So I'm wondering if we could get if I could get a volunteer for that. To help with that. I'm also happy to help, but.
So Lily, you don't want to? It's just you and me, I guess, huh? Just Lily and I are the only ones on?
Yeah, besides me, because.
I believe so. I would be willing to do it. I would like maybe bullet points or a list of items to include into the letter, like where we are, what are we concerned about, and what changes we would like to implement.
It just seems like I'm sort of hear what you're saying, Lily. I guess that's what I would probably want to know too. It feels like we almost need to have a conversation about the meeting. Because I'd be happy to work with Lily or take a stab at it. I just feel like it needs some conversation about what we heard and what maybe our concerns or issues might be. I don't know. Does that make any sense? Or
yes, I'm of the same mind.
So I'm also happy to be involved in the drafting of something. What I could do to get us started is to kind of draft what I heard as both possible issues that cause concern, and areas that there seems to be real desire for progress. Because I heard both, and given that there might be this might be a bigger transition for the city. I imagine it takes some time to move the ship, so to speak. Maybe I can email you both, in the next couple of weeks with some thoughts, and then we can come back and see if we can create a draft that we would want to present to the commission, and hopefully, assuming we're not the only people on the meeting again, and go from there in February, whether we need some more drafting and thought, or whether we can submit something to mayor and council, fairly quickly after that. So,
well, I,
Zach,
go ahead, Lily.
I wanted to just clarify, are we down to just 5 members on CODI?
Well, so there's the 3 of us. There's Mr. Jordan, who was unable to join us. There's Mr. Spadas, who's likely to be reappointed, but is in a little bit of a limbo right now because the mayor's office needs to do the stuff that they need to do to reappoint him. And I heard from the mayor's office today that they are going to get started. And then I believe that Commissioner Engel has been removed from the commission just because of low attendance. So somewhere between 4 and 5. And I know there was talk of another city council person appointing a commissioner after Ms. Holbrook's leave. So I'm hopeful that we would be back up to 6 after that, and then we can try to concentrate on getting the other 2 positions, at least with city council, filled. Or at least, yeah, I think, yeah.
So Zach, I appreciate, I feel bad because I think it's more work for you, but I do appreciate you taking a stab at a draft. And I mean, I would really even say a rough draft that then Lily and I could chime in and add to it. I'm happy to do that.
Sure. I'm happy to do that. I don't think it's going to be a ton more work for me. I've got to take a good amount of practice the last few months. So I'm happy to do that. So I'll communicate with you in the next couple of weeks as I have some time to put together a rough draft.
Okay, and I certainly will start making note of some, you know, the sort of things that I heard and wonder about, and both positive and maybe some growth edges, but I'll start putting that together for myself too.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, I think that covers that agenda item. I really wanted to discuss the CODI picnic idea, but I would like to have a fuller meeting to be able to do that. You know, if we don't do it before summer, it's something to think about for next fall. Do either of the 2 of you have objections about kind of delaying that agenda item discussion?
It's fine with me. I don't have a real vested interest in the picnic, but I still really support us having at least an annual meeting face to face where we could all meet and have a meeting and perhaps make it a meeting / social, so that we, you know, maybe had time to be social as well as have a business meeting. So I'm still interested in that, but I'm fine with delaying the discussion.
I would like to have that discussion as well. I think, you know, even if we're not able to have it outdoors, we could do an in-person social meeting with the ideas of, you know, keeping people, you know, being respectful of people's access needs and that type of thing. So maybe we can hopefully have a larger presence from the commission next month, and I'll keep that on the agenda for next month. Ms. Bogan, did you have any qualms about that or thoughts?
No, I'm fine with tabling it for next month.
Okay, thank you. That leads into our last agenda item, announcements. Do either Ms. Krager or Ms. Bogan have announcements that they would like to make? Okay. I do have an announcement. Next month, we will be having a staff member from the Complete Streets Coordinating Council. I believe I have that acronym, like the acronym correct. Complete Streets coordinates, you know, what street projects are complete and how sidewalks are put in and how infrastructure is put in, with the idea that there is a CODI spot on the council that they have expressed interest in filling again. I believe prior Commissioner Hansen filled that position, but has remained empty since she has moved on. I am happy to fill that. I have quite a bit of personal interest in sidewalks and infrastructure, so I may be asking for a motion at the next meeting to for appointment. So I'm just throwing it out there for consideration. So. All right. I believe that brings us to adjournment. I'm going to go ahead and adjourn this meeting at 4:49 p.m., Stephanie.
Okay.
Thank you so much, everyone. Thanks for
having me.
Thank you, everyone.
I apologize for being so late. Thank you for waiting for me. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Take care. We're all having technical problems.
Thank you.
Bye.